Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live in the studio for another episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. As always, I am joined by Ben Gorwitz, once again here in the studio. Ben, how did we end up doing last week, man? And how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good. Last week, not great for myself. I went 0-2-1 in college football. You went 5-3 in college football. I went 1-1 in the NFL. You went 1-2. It brings podcast totals to 65-57-4 record in college football, 38-31-3 in the NFL.
Not bad at all. So the boys are still positive. It's definitely been a bumpy ride, Ben, but we've made it this far in college football. First of all, Ben, I know you're obviously excited because Alabama's playing. Are you sad the regular season is finally over?
It goes quick. Always does. I was talking with friends the other day, and I was like, how is it November, December right now? Like, how are we about to be in the last month of 2023? Feels like it absolutely flies by. College football offseason is an eternity because you hear about it almost the entire offseason between transfer portal stuff. Some people go quick. Some people commit to a new school late. Coaches move. Coaches are moving now. Like, there's such a revolving door around college football now that you do hear news almost year-round these nowadays, but the season does go quick. But conference championship Saturday is awesome, and I'm ready for it. Last one in the final for the Final Four.
Yep, last one in the Final Four era. Yeah, conference championship weekend is awesome. I'm definitely going to miss the regular season, Ben. I'm going to miss the Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night games. It's pretty sad, honestly. Last Saturday, I tried to stay up and watch the last ever Pac-12 After Dark game. I regret to inform you, Ben, I did not make it past halftime. That shit goes on way too late. It gets to halftime, man. It's like 1 a.m. and you're like, all right, are we really doing this tonight? Especially if you don't have any action on it.
Yeah, I didn't make it past halftime either. I was falling. I think I missed multiple drives in the second quarter.
Yeah, I was the same way too, man. I mean, I was still awake watching, but at that point, I was just like, all right, it's time to call tonight. We got NFL tomorrow. We ain't got time for all this. Anyway, though, guys, me and Ben have a preview for you guys on pretty much every single matchup we have for conference championship weekend. I don't think I have anything for the Mountain West, and then I don't think I had anything for the MAC either. So other than that, I'm pretty sure we have – oh, and the Conference USA champion – or not Conference USA. Obviously, I'm the Conference USA king, so of course I have something for Conference USA, but not for the Sun Belt. I think with all no further ado, Ben, let's get into the picks here for the podcast. And we got to start things out, man, in Conference USA, since I hinted to it. I'll make it short and quick for everyone. I'll let Ben say his 2 cents as well. So in these lower conference championship games, they do not play these in an actual like champion conference championship stadium. Instead, they play in the first seed stadium, the number one seed. This game will be played at Liberty's home arena, where they're going to be hosting my New Mexico State Aggies. That's right, they're my New Mexico State Aggies. M. Diego Pavia, Jerry Covers, and company come to town. Currently, the number is 11.5 for the underdog. And you know what? I'm not even going to hint at it, man. We're taking the dog here. Give me New Mexico State plus the 11.5. New Mexico State is a wagon, Ben. And we've been with this team since week zero, where we got screwed on the under in the most ridiculous way ever. The score of the game was like 10-10. And it was like a 45-point over-under. And then they scored like four touchdowns in like 20 seconds. It was ridiculous. But
it was 13-7 at halftime. Third quarter, only 3 points happened. Fourth quarter, 48 combined points.
Absolute insanity, dude. It was ridiculous. I remember me and Ben sitting there texting. We're like, dude, we got this. We got our first win of the season. And then they were just like, nope, touchdown, 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 touchdown. Next thing you know, we're just sitting there ripping our tickets up. But anyway, New Mexico State is an FBS best, 10-2-1 against the spread. Liberty currently ranks dead last this season in strength of schedule. I will say strength of schedule is a good stat, but at the same time, if you're a team that sucks and if you play teams that are better than you, like if you look like South Carolina, Florida, like Mississippi State, the crumb bum teams of the SEC are all top tier teams in strength of schedule, because the team they played was pretty much better than them every single game. So strength of schedule isn't exactly the best stat. So, of course, Liberty was better than everybody they played. But if you look at Liberty's schedule, the only team with a pulse they played was New Mexico State. New Mexico State has a great defense, and they can really slow down this Liberty attack. Liberty kind of is built the same way as them. They like to ground and pound with their quarterback and the rest of their guys. They're going to run the football in this game. I think New Mexico State can slow the game down, and Diego Pavia and company are going to do the same thing where they run all over them as well. Since 2005, true home road. So when a team's actually playing in their stadium in a conference championship game, like if a team's actually playing in the stadium, they call their home stadium. These teams, the underdog is 25-17 ATS in these games. And when they're unranked, they're 15-8 against the spread. New Mexico State meets both those. Give me the Aggies. Anything you want to say?
Weird shit happens in bowl games.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say weird shit happens in bowl games. Like when these types of teams play, it's like you may not know anything about them, but they also might give you the best, one of the best bowl games that you see during bowl season. No, I mean, I got no bet on this game. First, looks like the first time they played was week two for Liberty, week three for New Mexico State. Because they played week zero, 33-17. That game was in Liberty. So just how it is again. The over-under is 57. So that didn't hit the first time. I know New Mexico State runs the ball a lot. If I played anything, it would maybe be on the under. But
I like that.
No bet for me in this game. Just rooting on Diego.
Yeah, you got to root on our boy Diego, man. That's our guy. Good for him getting the big win over Auburn. Ben, let's talk about the big game on Friday night. We got Washington taking on Oregon. Total is 66.5 in this game. Oregon's a 9.5 to 10 point favorite, depending on what shop you look in. Do you have an official for us in this game?
Nothing yet. I guess the theme for me, the champion, I don't know who. I have an idea of who I think wins these games, but I have no idea on how these games are going to go. So I just wrote down a couple notes for each games. Oregon's got one of the best third down offenses in the country. Washington is outside of the top 50 on third down defense. You know, most of these teams that are playing this late in the season competing for national championships aren't going to be in the hundreds in a lot of stats. So outside of the top 50 on third down defense, if the Huskies can't get off the field, I think Oregon could blow them out. Oregon's one of the best first half teams in the country all year against the spread. I think that's big for if you're going to bet on Washington to keep an eye on. If the Ducks start fast, they typically have dominated opponents this year, but these two teams have played each other. So Washington, their first matchup, relied on their star wide receivers to carry them, and they did. I just think Dan Lanning is a master of defense. I think his middle name is defense. So in a rematch, I trust him as a head coach to make bigger adjustments that matter more than Washington's coach I think the Ducks win. Nine's a lot of number, or nine's a big number in a rematch. I feel like Washington, not a lot of people are giving them a chance. I feel like a lot of people are just rolling over and saying Oregon's gonna win in this game. Part of me doesn't feel like it's that easy, but I don't have anything to play right now. I don't trust either team with the spread right now. I got no clue.
Okay. Fair enough, Ben. I think taking Oregon to win is probably the right move there, the right call. Although Ben did pick Washington to make his Final Four before the season, right? Didn't you have Washington in the Final Four?
I think I changed them out for
Miami,
someone
right?
else. No, I didn't. No way. I had
I'm joking
Miami.
with you. I'm just
No
joking with you.
way.
That was me who picked Miami last year.
Here, I got it. I had. I'll find it.
All right. All right. Well, Ben scrolls around and finds it. I'm going to go in here with my pick. Look.
No, Michigan, LSU, Florida State, and Georgia was mine.
Okay. Ben's looking.
I did have Washington. I flipped them out for LSU.
Damn, you might have actually got the entire thing right if you didn't do that. So you're pretty close. And also, I'm glad I replaced Penn State with Michigan for me and mine. Give me Washington, though, plus the 10 here in this game. This is a borderline, what are we doing here kind of line. Like, I get it. Everybody says Michael Penix is hurt. The Washington offense hasn't looked as good. I honestly thought Washington winning that game at Oregon State was probably one of the most gritty wins I've seen a single team have this entire season in college football. Like, Washington grinded that game out, and it was pouring down rain. Everything was against them in that game, and they still pulled it out. People are saying Michael Penix is banged up. We'll see here in this game. Washington's proven, though, they can win in close games, and they're very battle-tested. Washington's played the 23rd hardest schedule this season, while Oregon's played the 58th. Oregon really doesn't have a quality win, in my opinion. I think beating Oregon State in Corvallis is a lot more impressive than beating them when they're on the road. We know how good this team is when they're at Corvallis. On the road's completely different. I mean, their best win is what, the corpse of USC or Utah with a backup quarterback who is honestly terrible this season. Like, I just don't see the quality win on here, man. I mean, Oregon has a good team. To make them this heavy of a favorite, though, is absolutely ridiculous. I have Oregon as a 3.5 point favorite. I can't get there to the full 10. I don't know how the hell this line is so big.
So
Also,
that's where
though,
I am. I look at how is it 9 and how is it 10 now? And that's why I just don't want to be like the square and just be like, well, Washington, that's what my gut is telling me. But I've seen Oregon blow out some teams, man.
I have too, but I also looked at historical data. When two teams play each other for a second time in the same season, it's basically like about 50-50. If anything, the team that won the first time has like a little bit higher cover margin and wins a little bit more often than not. But I mean, I was like looking at it, and even when it gets like one team is favored a lot heavier the second time around, and if you take away like the games with backup quarterbacks and stuff, it's damn near 50-50. So I don't really think this line means anything. I just really don't understand this line at all. Like, let's say that, I mean, I do my ratings a lot different than other people do. Even if I want to take the same things into account, I still can only get to 6.5. So I just don't understand at all how this line is this high. I think Washington might win this game, honestly. It's going to be a tight game. Like I said, Oregon's played a cakewalk. I mean, in that game against Oregon State moved the ball on them. They just couldn't hit any explosives whatsoever. Oregon got a lot of fourth downs in that game. When Oregon stepped up in class, it hasn't been all that easy. I could see Washington winning this game. I really could. I'm going to take the 10 points, though, just to be safe here. 10 is a lot of points in a game like this. Anyway, though, Ben, let's roll things over into Saturday now. We've touched on both Friday games. I know you said you have an official play. What's your official play for Saturday? We'll talk about that one first.
It's going to be the Big Ten. It's going to be the play that almost everyone has got to be on. Michigan, minus 21 and a half
Oh, I thought you were going to
is what
say
I just
Iowa
looked
team
at it.
total over 6.5.
No. It's Michigan. How does Iowa, one, how do they, I'm not sure how they score a touchdown. I'm putting the number
I'll
at
tell you.
10. How do they get over 10 points? And I think if they get to, I think Michigan, this, remember, Harbaugh's coaching this game. So put your villainous face on if you're Harbaugh. He's gonna blow this team out if his team gives him the opportunity. I don't think the backups may come out or backups may come in. Touchdowns is the only thing on Harbaugh's mind. I think he wants this to be an absolute bloodbath and show up the Big Ten. His team didn't need him for their biggest game of the season, and he's back now. They were wearing those free Harbaugh shirts for a reason. I think they play really hard for Harbaugh here in his first game back from suspension, second suspension, and I think they blow Iowa out.
You think they blow Iowa?
Out.
I know, I'm just messing with you. The out was a little delayed there, Ben.
It was delayed.
It was a little delayed. You know, we can go ahead and skip to that game. Why not? Let's do it. Ben, I think Iowa is going to score in this game. I'm taking the over in this game at 35. 35 is way too low. When I look at Iowa here in this game, Ben, Iowa is going to do everything in their power to not get embarrassed here. Iowa wants to score so badly. I got bad news for them. They're going to get embarrassed in this game, but I do think Iowa can score just enough to get something on the board. Like Iowa's going to kick a field goal there or maybe score a touchdown. I'd rather not take their team
You
total
might
over
only
six and a
need
half.
seven.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They really, honestly, they really don't even have to score, in my opinion. So this is how I see Iowa playing this game. Like I said, Iowa's got to score in this game. Their defense is going to be on the field so much, they're going to get tired. They're going to give up points. I get it. They have a great defense. Defense is going to give up points. They're going to get exhausted from being out there on the field the whole time. On the flip side of things, though, Iowa's going to have to make stuff happen. Like they're going to empty the playbook. They're going to run trick plays. They're going to do everything in their power. This is Iowa's Super Bowl. If they can at least score two touchdowns, they'll come away feeling good about themselves. I think they're going to run some sort of ridiculous trick play. But Ben, I think Michigan covers for you. I know you've bet with me long enough to know this is kind of a TP3 principle here. When I have a total in college football that's this close to the spread, I mean, the spread in this game is 23. Odds are Michigan's not going to just score 24 points. Michigan's going to score way more than that. I think like Michigan's going to have the ball so much. I think Michigan probably gets close to 40 points on their own. If I think I can get close to 40 points on my own for Michigan, Iowa's got to score, man. Like they have to score in this game. I just think that this total is way too low. I know it's an Iowa over. I finally did it. I've called it into question every single week. Don't be shocked to even see Deacon Hill throw two pick sixes in this game. I've watched their wide receivers. I watched a decent bit of them against Nebraska. Dude, their wide receivers suck. They drop a ton of passes. Those balls are going to
That
hit
was a
off their
painful
hands
game to
and be
watch.
pick six against Michigan. Don't be shocked to see Michigan win this game 42-0, 42-3. So give me the over in this game. I just think it is. I think this line's ridiculous when you have Michigan's offense out there on the field. And also, too, if they don't hit this over, I don't want to hear a single Michigan fan tell me a damn thing if you can't put five touchdowns on Iowa in this game. Anyway, I got a couple of them for us for Saturday, Ben. Let's talk about the Gen game real quick. Then we'll go to the big games. I'll get this one out of the way quick. I'm thinking Tulane minus 3.5 in this game. Every single week, all I've heard, I mean, look, I bet Tulane a couple times and they couldn't cover against some of the worst teams in college football. I think they played possum. The two times they had to call their number this season were against Memphis and against UTSA, and they more than called their number. They won both those games
Ole Miss,
controllably.
technically.
So, oh, yeah, they did
They
play with
played
Ole
well.
Miss. Yeah, they
They played
played well
well.
with Ole Miss. They definitely did. And they had a backup quarterback in this game. This defense is nasty. They're actually 10-2 to the under this season. And I think they have one of the most legit defenses in college football. And this defense is nothing SMU hasn't seen. SMU's two best opponents, TCU and Oklahoma. Oklahoma gave them a beatdown, and TCU beat them handily as well. TCU's not even a bowl team. Quarterback Garrett Stone. No, wait, that's the baseball player. Preston Stone is out for the season with a knee injury. He's not going to be available in this game. I mean, I think Tulane's a class above from them. I think they're biting off more than they can chew. Also, too, for what it's worth, Willie Fritz is 27-8 ATS since becoming the head coach at Tulane. I mean, this Memphis, they almost lost to Memphis, who has no defense. Memphis threw two interceptions in the fourth quarter, giving them a short field to work with and ultimately allowing SMU to win this game. SMU is insanely overrated, in my opinion. Tulane rolls them. The Green Wave rolls. Ben, any thoughts on this game before we get to the real games?
Big Michael Pratt fan.
Big
Love the
Michael
way that
Pratt
he throws
fan.
the football. Yeah, I love the way he plays football. His kid can spin it. If Fritz had left, then I would have thought Elko would maybe give Pratt a call.
I think he still
He
might
can.
give him a call. Pratt said
He
he's entering
can.
the portal. He's not going to get drafted, I
Oh,
don't
he
think.
is?
Yeah,
He
I
is
mean
portal though? Okay.
the thing is, I'm sure you've seen it, Ben. I think you might even be the one who sent it to me. The going rate in the portal is $1 to $2 million for a solid QB. Michael Pratt will get $1 to $2 million to go
I
somewhere and
don't know
play
if I
quarterback.
don't know if I believe that.
I definitely believe it. I think teams are paying up for these QBs. I bet you Notre Dame's giving Riley Leonard $2-3 million. I mean, the way you got to look at it when you're one of these quarterbacks, if you're a solid quarterback, you can go to the draft. If you're not a first, second, third round pick, you're not sniffing $1 million on that contract. You know what I mean? So instead, you're going to get $1 to $2 million to stay in college football and go play somewhere else. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what they end up making. I mean, it's pretty tough to get the actual terms. Let's keep things rolling though here. Let's start out with the noon game. We got Oklahoma State playing Texas. Ben, you got to play them this game. Oklahoma State is catching 15 in this game, and this game's in Jerry World, by the way, and the over under is at 55.
No play for right now. I wanted to take the under. I'm not there just yet on it. The Oklahoma State quarterback with, I mean, this guy turns the ball over and over and over and over, and he's been doing it all year. He's got more picks thrown than touchdowns thrown this year. Now, if you include rushing touchdowns, he does have more, but as a quarterback, he has less touchdowns thrown than interceptions thrown. It's not someone I'm going to trust against a really, really good Texas defense. Oklahoma State ranks 105th in rushing yards allowed, 113th in passing yards allowed, 126th in explosive plays allowed. Now, if you rewind the tape, I said most teams competing for national championships at this point in the season are not in the hundreds. I don't know how Oklahoma State, their season makes zero sense. If you look at how they started the season, you look at how the where their stats are. I don't know how they're here. A big reason is because they do have one of the best running backs in the country. Biggest weakness for Texas has been the red zone. Red zone scoring. They're 107th in red zone scoring this year. I think if Texas wants to get in the playoff and win a national championship, they got to get seven more than three. But this is not a good matchup for Oklahoma State unless they find a way to run on one of the best front sevens in football. So, yeah, based on stats, it makes me want to take Texas, Texas, Texas. It's not a program that I trust to finish games. Never has been under Sarkisian, probably never will be, unless they prove me wrong. So they don't finish games well. They haven't done it in the second half of the season very well. This is a team that they have a chance to blow out based on the spread and based on stats. We'll see if they do it. Gundy doesn't go quietly.
Gundy does not go quietly, Ben. I like a lot of what you said. I actually didn't have those stats that you had on Oklahoma. I need you to text me those stats so I can use it for my video I'm going to make on this game. But I'm taking the over for all the reasons Ben just said. He laid it out for me perfectly. Oklahoma State is not going to get stops in this game. Like I was honestly just going to say that they played two shit teams the last 2 weeks, including BYU's backup quarterback, and had to go to overtime to win that game. BYU had no problem moving the ball up and down the field on them. On top of those facts, like Texas needs to get margin here to make the college football playoff and impress the committee. I think they're actually going to blow them out in this game. I think Oklahoma State, though, can get 2 to 3 touchdowns. Like you said, Ollie Gordon, Alan Bowman. Bowman's going to turn the ball over in this game, too. Texas will hit explosives down the field. They're going to pass and throw, run the ball all over them. Like you said, man, I think these teams have no problem scoring. Give me the over 55 in this game. I think we start the day with some fireworks to get things kicked off.
Yep.
Next
I
game
can
up
see
for
it.
me. What were you say?
I can see it. I can see. I don't have a pick because I can see everything this game. I can see Oklahoma State not putting on many points, and that helps the under. I can see the over. What you were saying. It just. I don't know if Oklahoma State's gonna be able to run the football, and they literally can't throw. So they better figure out how to block Texas's front seven if they want to compete in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And also, too, like Oklahoma State at one point was catching 12.5 points at home against Kansas State. Now, they did win that game outright, but still, it's just ridiculous to think we got here with them. I think this is a really bad football team. I think they're probably the worst team playing on this day
Without a doubt.
for a P5 conference championship. Yeah, I think Iowa might be able to beat them. Let's keep things rolling, though, Ben. Let's talk about. We'll save the big game of the day for last. Let's talk about my game here, where we have the Florida State Seminoles hosting or taking on the Louisville Cardinals. This game is being played in North Carolina, the home of the Panthers. Ben, my Noles currently laying 2.5 points in this game. What do you think about this one? Any picks?
Not yet. I'm waiting to see how far that line might drop, and then I might just take Florida State money line. If it stays at 2.5, I might just take Florida State money line.
Okay.
This is the best statistical offense Florida State has seen since week one playing LSU. So that's a long time to face this offense. Now, I didn't think this offense from Louisville was going to be this good. I think you were high on them to start the year when we did our ACC preview, if I remember correctly.
I wouldn't say I was high on them. I just pointed out that they had a joke schedule, and I thought they might be able to get to the ACC championship for that reason. And
they're here.
I should have put some coin on it.
This is obvious, but Florida State needs to lean on Benson in this game. He's a terrific running back. He's a physical running back. We don't know the full potential of Florida State anymore. It's obviously lower, but we don't know what this kid can do. Now, it pisses me off. No, I don't even watch the college football playoff on Tuesdays. Don't care what the committee chairman has to say.
Same.
Except that I see it on Twitter. He is saying that Tate Rodemaker looked impressive to the committee.
That's good for me.
I mean, did you come away from that game saying that we have a good quarterback?
So, Ben, look, I think Rodemaker's not a bad QB. I will say he wasn't necessarily impressive in that game. It's a hostile environment, and I thought we just called a really conservative game. And, I mean, Florida had a backup quarterback. You could tell the whole game plan was, let this kid be the one to lose the game. Let's just play the game close to our chest and lean on Benson. I think that was more so the game plan. I think if push comes to shove, that Rodemaker can air it out.
I'm not saying he's not talented. It's just the words that in the – one and a quarter, one and a half games that he's played that he's been impressive. It's like he wasn't that good against Florida. Again, hostile environment, but he wasn't good against Florida. It's just the key matchup is Jack Plummer, who's had a really good season for Louisville versus the relentless pass rush. That's the biggest matchup. If Louisville doesn't give this guy time, I think it looks very similar to Desmond Ridder when Cincinnati played Bama. I think it looks similar to when Jake Browning on Washington played Alabama. Yeah. Quarterback, just you don't have time to make decisions. Your explosive plays are limited. A lot of screen passes. Florida State's got the better athletes. So I think if Louisville can create space on offense to help block the relentless defensive line that Florida State has, I think Louisville can win this game. But I trust that defensive line and the better athletes on the field a little bit more. So I might play FSU moneyline, but no peg as of now. Just that's my synopsis of the game.
Yeah, I'm going to take FSU -2.5 here in this game. I think that I agree with a lot of the things you said, Ben. I mean, when I look at Louisville, what's the signature win here? Was it the one score game against Indiana? Was it the one score game against Virginia? Was it the one score game against Georgia Tech? Was it the one score game against Miami? I mean, they played so many bad teams close. NC State, I guess the NC State one score game is probably the signature win at this point in time in Raleigh, since NC State's also 9-3. I just don't see it, man, here for Louisville. FSU will play the exact same game plan. We just saw them play against Florida. And to be honest with you, Rodemaker is just as good, if not better, than Jack Plummer is. Jack Plummer is horrible against the blitz. He's horrible against pressure. I think they're no different than each other. And let's not forget, Ben, last year, Jordan Travis got hurt against Louisville and Rodemaker came in and led them to a victory at Louisville on a Friday night. So he's beaten this team before. I think this game is going to be ugly. FSU is going to stick to the game plan. The thing is, I preached it all year long. And look, I've been one of the guys who's been riding Louisville. I had my biggest bet of the week multiple times on Louisville this season, and they came through for us. I think that Louisville plays well when they're at home. When they're on the road, they're not the same team. And I mean, they got the most favorable schedule they could have possibly gotten this year from the ACC. I think this is a fraudulent football team. I think this game, like I said, it's going to be ugly, but I think Florida State is more talent, and they're going to be able to get it done here. I think this game will play out a lot how the Florida game did. Give me the Noles to win in a tight one. I mean, this is going to be the hold your butt special. I think FSU will end up winning by like 3 to 7 points, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that's kind of why I just might take moneyline. I don't know where that number is going to fall. I think Florida State wins the game, but what was your pick in the Texas game?
Over at 55. Also, too, the other thing that's really annoying for me, I'm going to keep it here for just like 20 seconds. Everybody's saying Florida State doesn't deserve to be in the college football playoff and all these other teams do. At the end of the day, Florida State, these other teams lost a game and Florida State didn't. What did Florida State do? They haven't played a hard schedule. Well, they went outside of the season.
Neither
they scheduled the fifth best team in college football to start the season off. I mean, who cares if LSU and the fifth best team now? They scheduled like the best possible opponent they could at the time. So at the end of the day, I don't get it, man. People just want to build things just to meet what they want to say. Ohio State won with Cardale Jones as a third string quarterback starting. So Florida State, if they win this game, deserves to be in no matter what happens. Anyway, though, we'll debate this on our next podcast when it actually comes out, since there's only going to be one game next week in college football, and it's all going to play itself out this week. Ben, what'd you say?
They're in with a win.
Yeah, they're in with a win for sure. Win and you're in. Let's talk about the last big game of the weekend. It's going to be the Georgia Bulldogs hosting Ben's Alabama Crimson Tide. Ben is a Bama fan, so I'll start us off in this game. Alabama's catching anywhere from 6 to 5 points, depending on where you place the bet. UGA Bama over under is currently set at 54 in this game. Ben, you know me, you know how I've bet all season long. My biggest bet of the entire weekend is on the over in this game. Both these teams struggle against running QBs, and Carson Beck can scoot versus the blitz, and we all know Jalen Milroe can run the football. This game's been a shootout the last couple years, and it'll be a fast track indoors played inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Georgia can hit explosive pass plays down the field in the air. They can also hit them underneath, and the run game's been picking up as well the last couple weeks for Georgia. Bama's going to be without their starting running back, Chase. Is it Chase or Jace?
Chase.
McClendon. Yeah, he's going to be Chase. Chase McClendon will be out in this game. I think both these teams are going to lean on the pass in this game. I think they can easily get to 60 points scored in this game. Like, I think it won't be a problem for this game to get in the 60s. I just think this is going to be a shootout, like how all these Georgia-Bama games play out. I think this game will be a fun one to watch, and this will be the game of the day. I do, though, like Georgia to win this game, Ben. I can't lie. I wanted to take Alabama, especially when I saw Trent pull the trigger on Georgia. I wanted to be against him, but I'm sorry.
That's because a Bama person paid him to take Georgia.
Yeah. I know. I saw it. I'm sorry, though, Ben. When I look through Bama's schedule, I don't know if I'm like that impressed with their body of work. They beat LSU with a lot of guys out. Losing at home against Texas didn't exactly age well. It's early in the season, so I'll give them a pass on that. I mean, the big wins have been against what? Kentucky, Texas A&M. No. I mean, winning at Texas A&M is a big win. I mean,
Kentucky is where you go first.
Tennessee.
Ole Miss?
I'm just saying, yeah, no, Ole Miss is the one solid win for Alabama, I will say. Them and Georgia both embarrassed them. I know Saban's 16-1 straight up playing in the stadium or playing in the city of Atlanta, whether it's been in a regular season game, postseason game, whatever. I don't know, Ben. I think Georgia's going to get it done, but I don't think Alabama's going to roll over and die in this game. I think Georgia wins this game by a touchdown.
Yeah, I got no idea. I got no confidence in a Bama blowout, a Bama close win, a Georgia blowout, a Georgia close win. I got no idea. And I'll tell you what, none of my friends do either, because I have zero text about this game, and it is Thursday evening, and I've seen very little tweets of people going back and forth at each other. So I think everyone's nervous for this game. Bama, couple defensive linemen guys missed that Auburn game due to injury, and I think they're going to play, which is big, but the focus has got to be unlimiting big running plays, forcing Beck to drop back and beat them. Now, I think Carson Beck's been the best conductor in the country this season. I don't think he's a game manager. I think he's a very good quarterback, but he's been the best conductor of an offense, in my opinion. I think you can throw Penix, Bo Nix, Daniels up there. When you watch Georgia play, all of their plays are efficient. Their guys are wide open downfield because they're running great routes. Beck's throwing them in stride to where they don't have to stop.
Yeah.
He misses a couple throws here and there, but this guy's a good quarterback. And listen, he makes great decisions, capable of making big-time throws. I think Bama just needs to prove – or not Bama. I think he just needs to prove it against a defense like Bama. This will be the best secondary he's faced this year. This will be the best edge rushers he's faced this year. Chris Braswell and Dallas Turner have been in quarterbacks' kitchens all season long. They're tops of the country in pressures, both of them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a great game. Georgia's what they've struggled with all year has been finding a consistent pass rush. They've had good pass rush, but sometimes it's not as consistent. And can the Bama, it's in the trenches, these games. Who gets to the quarterback more? And can Georgia keep Milroe in the pocket when he does, when they do get pressure? The spy has been very effective on Milroe in a couple games this year, and I'm sure Georgia will throw a couple spies at him, but should be a great game. I have no confidence in whatever's going to happen. I had free play on my book, so I have $75 of free play on Bama Moneyline. It's free. So
yeah,
I got no pick in this game. I will have no pick in this game. I'm going to watch as a fan, and emotions will be running high. Yeah, thank God it's indoors, by the way. The weather is awful all weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you on the side, Ben. I think it's pretty tough to say in this game, honestly, on the side. I would lean towards the dogs, though, and lay the points. All right, we're running out of time on here, Ben. Let's go to NFL. I know you got two picks, and I've given out a billion picks. Start us off with your first one.
Let's go to Falcons and Jets. I'm going to go under 34. Now, yeah, I mean, come on. Where's my stat? Here we go. Totals of 37 or less are now 19-4-1 to the under since 2020. These offenses are having the worst year I've ever seen offenses have. Desmond Ritter have no faith that he can put together two back-to-back great games, especially against a Jets defense. I mean, the Jets offense is one of the worst I've ever seen. So under 34, Falcons defense playing great. Jets have a great defense. Both quarterbacks stink.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty solid assessment there, Ben. I'm going to go to the 49ers and the Eagles, arguably the NFL game of the week. Now, I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the 49ers here on the road. First of all, Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis are both going to be out in the middle. The 49ers offensive line is going to eat them alive. The Eagles also come in here off an overtime huge comeback win. I think this is a perfect letdown spot for them. Nick Sirianni's 1-4 ATS is a home underdog and 0-5 straight up in these games, not covering by an average margin of 10 points per game. This is a massive revenge spot here for the 49ers. Goes back to the NFC Championship game. The Eagles jumped Steelers actually to number one in luck rating. And Kyle Shanahan's 27-12 ATS since December. All these reasons have me on the 49ers. 49ers are healthy. They're playing good football right now. Give me the Niners to get it done.
Last pick for me, Browns and Rams under 40. I mean, the Browns, I have no faith in them being able to score points. This Rams defensive line is going to absolutely attack Dorian Thompson-Robinson if he does play. And if he doesn't play, then Flacco plays, which is more harmful because he couldn't move couple years ago. He can't move today, if I had to guess. So mobility doesn't get better with age. And the Browns just have one of the best defenses in the NFL. I mean, I think this is a bad matchup for Stafford. Again, he's not moving as well as he used to. He's had a couple thumb injuries. He's doesn't want to see a bunch of the pressure that Myles Garrett and the boys are going to throw on him under 40.
I like that look a lot, Ben. I think that's definitely going to hit. My last play, this is an ugly one, so hold your nose. Give me the Cardinals plus 5.5 at the Steelers this week. I know the Steelers fired Matt Canada. I still don't believe in this team or in this offense. Kenny Pickett laying 5.5 points feels pretty ridiculous to me. Kyler Murray's 15-5 ATS on the road outside of the division in his career. He's also 22-13-2 ATS as an underdog. Pittsburgh ranks the second luckiest team in the NFL. They have voodoo magic in the stadium and get turnovers. And their defense rates pretty bad in a lot of key statistics. They just get turnovers that save their ass. I think some of that luck ranking is going to come crashing down on them here. So give me the Arizona Cardinals to cover the number. I think they'll have a shot to win this game outright. Pittsburgh ends up winning by a field goal. Ben, any final thoughts from you before we get out of here?
I'll recap real quick because I don't know if I have all the numbers right. College football for me, Michigan minus 21.5. That's it for college for me. For you, Washington plus 10, Michigan, Iowa over 35, Tulane minus 3.5, Florida State minus 2.5, Oklahoma State, Texas over 55, and SEC championship over 54. Is that right?
Yep.
Under NFL for me, Falcons and Jets under 34, Browns and Rams under 40. Then for you, 49ers minus 2.5 and Cardinals plus 5.5.
Yes, sir. I will say, Ben, this is one of the shittiest NFL schedules of all time. I mean, this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the 49ers-Eagles game will be solid, but I was talking about it earlier. There's like three solid matchups of quarterbacks, and after that, your fourth best matchup is like Jared Goff versus Derek Carr.
And that's, struggling Jared Goff, I might add.
Yeah. Dude, the NFL product's been really down this year. I think it's all the injuries to quarterbacks and whatnot have really hurt.
Definitely.
And
the red zone's impossible to score.
Dude, it's impossible. The other thing I was going to throw in there, too, is the Eagles do play the Cowboys on deck, but I don't know if you can necessarily look past playing the 49ers, you know, since it's like a huge game for NFC
Cowboys against bad
well.
Teams at home. Blowout.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, guys, that's all we got for tonight. We appreciate everyone who tuned in here. We'll talk to you all again soon. Until then, good luck to Ben this weekend. Good luck to myself. Roll Tide. Go Noles. Peace.